Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Right, right, turn off the lights. We're gonna lose our minds tonight. What's the dealio?
Oh, guess what?
What?
Welcome to the show.
Oh, that was good. We didn't even plan that. How about that?
Gee, I bet you they couldn't tell we didn't plan.
No, I thought you could have told it because, like, you did. We sang it at the same time, and we didn't say like the Jillian Janice debacle show. Like, it just went right into show, and it was
show and
the same tune and everything.
Hey, before you start, I have to ask you something.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't want to bring up anything that will upset you right off the shoot. But I didn't notice.
No.
I watched the new Loser. And I've noticed that Bob is winning all the
the weigh-ins.
He's kicking some major patootie.
Yeah, I know. I know it. I don't want to give anything away, but
Oh, yeah, no, you can't.
No, I know. Obviously, yeah, I know. He kills them.
What?
He ruins them. But I mean, here's the thing. Let's be fair. First of all, Bob is obviously an incredible trainer. But let's be fair. The Dolvet guy, the new guy, he's an actor. He was in a Tyler Perry movie. So, like, of course he's not going to be able to train like Bob's going to be able to train. He's real cute, though. He's a good-looking boy. But he's not a trainer. So
why would they do that?
Well, no. I mean, I'm sure he's... I know he had trained someone before. You know how, like, in L.A., there are... Like, you're really an actor, but you train on the side.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think the guy, you know, he was in, like, I can't remember the name of it. I know he was in a Tyler Perry movie, because I remember being like, oh, my God, I've seen that guy in that movie, and he's cute. He's real cute. But, you know, I mean, Bob is a trainer. Bob has been doing it for, geez, long time. Mm-hmm. And Anna is a tennis player. So, again, it's like, come on, when's Anna Kournikova hitting the gym to train somebody? So I think given those facts that you really have two sort of non-trainers, I think they're doing okay.
Well, we'll just keep an eye on that. I'm going to mark that down.
Look, I wouldn't expect much. I'm going to tell you right now that I'm pretty sure Bob will not
let anybody down.
I'm pretty sure Bob's not going to let anybody down. All right. Moving on.
Okay.
I'm like this. Oh, God. I want to have another friggin' go at everyone about organics again. I think it's time for me to have a tirade. I don't really get to have these tirades that much on the doctors because it's like, We have a lot to talk about. So broad, you know? And I get stuck in these segments about water births versus natural births.
Oh, no.
You have no idea. I mean, I sit there and I'm like this. What? Oh, my God. What's... Whoa! And then you see a video. I'm not kidding. Then they put a tape up and I'm like, there's a C-section happening. There's blood everywhere. And then there's a woman in a bathtub and it's blurred out and you hear it screaming. And I sit there and I'm like, how did I end up here? What is happening? And the producer's like, we love it. I'm like, why do you love this? They're like, because you're the layman. I'm like, uh-huh. And why am I up here? And they're like, because you feel the way the viewer does. I'm like, terrified? Like, it just, you know, and I don't get, I'm like, where's the conversation where I get to have a rant about organics? That's my comfort zone. That's right in my sweet spot. That's my wheelhouse right there.
That's my wheelhouse.
My organics. That's what I want to talk about.
Okay, I'm ready.
Woo! Organics. Now, I know it seems very elitist. I know it, and I know it seems unrelatable, and I know we're all struggling financially. I get it. But if you have any expendable income or any funds that can be reprioritized, please do this. It's like for those of you who are buying, you know, the $4 latte every day, and you know who you are. For those of you who are spending a fortune on beauty products that are loaded with chemicals that you don't need, or cleaning products that are loaded with chemicals that you don't need, or diet sodas or regular sodas that you don't need. You know, usually the person that I'm having to yell at about organics is saying to me, oh, I don't have the money. And then they have a Diet Coke in their hand. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how much did that run you? Did you get it out of the vending machine? That's like $1.50. How many of those do you do in a day? Like, really? Take a look, a good hard look, because here's the reality. When you go organic, you have all of these possible upsides. You cut your risk of diabetes. You decrease global warming. You reduce the chances that your children will be autistic or suffer from learning disabilities. You save the oceans from dead zones. You spare yourself from possible risks of cancer. You increase your chances of fertility. I mean, do I have your attention? I could go on and on and on. And a lot of times, organics are, first of all, they're better for the planet because when you put all those pesticides into the soil, they run off into the oceans. They're getting into our water supply. We're eating them. We're drinking them. It's just extremely pesticides, from pesticides to, come on, Jillian, herbicides. Thank you. There we go. That kill weeds, to antibiotics that we're feeding our livestock. It goes on and on and on. So I wanted to go over just a few things to think about. First of all, your kids, if you really do one thing for your children and you have any opportunity to afford it, please help your kids eat organic, because kids have been shown, the Environmental Protection Agency has shown that kids experience more complications from pesticides than adults because their organs are still developing and they're not as able to excrete harmful chemicals from their body. Plus, pesticides have been shown to block the absorption of nutrients that kids truly need, that are so critical for children as they're growing, for their body to develop properly. So, I mean, if there's one thing that you can do for your kids, this is why when it's like, oh, you know, you don't know what it's like to be a mom. By the way, if I have to hear that one more effing time. And it's almost as though if you're not a mother, people believe that common sense has left the building. You're not a mom. You don't know what you're talking about. I must have heard that on the show. I'm to the point now where I'm going to just kill somebody if they say that to me. You're not a mom. You don't know what it's like. And it's like, I don't know what it's like. Okay, here's what I do know. These foods are so dangerous and so harmful to your child. Do I need to be a mom to make exception to that rule? Do I suddenly become a mother and that information goes out the window because the kids are screaming or we're short on time or we're short on money? What am I missing about that? You're not a mother. Oh, so common sense doesn't permit me to say you shouldn't feed your kids fast food?
Right. You're not allowed to weigh in because...
You're not a mother. Yeah, you don't know. Yeah. You don't know the burden. God, I can't wait to get a kid just so somebody can't say that to me. Forget the fact that, you know, forget the kid's mental health. Forget raising a child and having meaning in your life. All I want to do is stop being discredited in these arguments by somebody telling, you're not a mother. You don't know. I'm going to kill someone if they say that. Not only that... pesticides have been linked to allergies, asthma, autism, ADHD, diabetes, and childhood leukemia. And that includes the herbicides and the fertilizers that you use on your lawn, which is why I'll always tell you, you know, don't use this. And in previous shows, we've gone over options like vinegar, options like mulch, options like letting the grass grow longer so it shades right. The weeds. But in addition... Not only when you go organic do you not get the harmful things that go into or onto the food, but now research is starting to show that the nutrients in organic food is actually more significant because they did a study on a kiwi, for example, right? So there were kiwis that were grown without pesticides. And on their own, the kiwis had to fight off environmental hazards. So the fruit had to naturally produce more antioxidants to survive. Survive against the elements, survive against pests. Right. And those antioxidants are the nutrients in your foods. They fight off more pests and more environmental hazards in the fruit. You eat it, you're ingesting more antioxidants and more natural hazardous, and more naturally occurring dangers from your environment.
Because the fruit had to fight so hard.
Yes. So it built more antioxidants. So not only is it shown to not have worse stuff, now studies are starting to show that it has more good stuff for you, more healthy stuff. Because before they used to say, I've checked, you know, this raspberry and that raspberry, one doesn't have more nutrients. And I used to get in fights and say, that's not the point. It's not getting more nutrients. It's what you're not getting. You don't want the pesticides, the poisons, this or that. Right. But now studies are showing exactly the opposite. And that study on the kiwis came from the University of California, Davis in 2007. If you want to cross-reference me, huh? How about that? Now, here's another one. They're starting to suggest that pesticides can actually lead to depression because they're saying that they've been shown to damage nerve cells and deplete your brain's supply of dopamine.
Oh, so it's not just that breakup. You can't blame depression on a breakup or things.
Well,
it's because
I mean,
you
it's
didn't eat the-
well, I mean, yeah, again, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you have a chronic, my mom calls it dysthymia. If there's a chronic low grade depression, it can be linked to diet. So if nothing's going on,
no,
I mean,
sure,
if you've had a breakup or a death in the family, if you lost your job, well, that's obvious what's going on. But if you just have a chronic low grade depression. Research is starting to show that pesticides, these chemicals, I'm not even going to try to pronounce them for you. Well, I might. Diphenol, paraquat, and MANEB, these are the names of these pesticides that they did the studies on, it was a British study.
I wouldn't
Look at
say that.
That. Damage nerve cells and deplete your brain supply of dopamine. Okay. Let's go. Let me give you a few more.
Okay.
All right. So I've said this before. 1 in 6 Americans now have fertility issues.
Yeah.
Linked to pesticides. And it's not just women. It's men. Because low doses of these toxins damage sperm count. And there are nearly 100 different pesticides that are thought to disrupt our natural hormone balance. And in particular, it damages sperm count in men.
Wow.
Huh? How about that? Huh? How about that? Now, here's another one for you. All of the antibiotics. Now, they often give livestock that are grown in factory farms antibiotics because the conditions are so unsafe, the animals get infection. And there are certain antibiotics that function as a form of growth hormone, which I've never understood, but I don't understand the science behind it.
Yeah,
that's
but
they
why
give
you
it to
see
them.
Cows in the pasture with a duck growing out their back. What is that? Oh, it's just a cow with a duck growing out its back.
I've never...
Well, it's just, you
never
know.
Never actually seen that one, but...
You know what I
keep
mean.
Keep an eye out.
The
I do know. Yes,
I scary could. Looking.
Yes. So, first of all, you've got all these super bugs now, like MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. And,
you taught me about that.
E. coli and salmonella strains that are killing people now, because when you have too many antibiotics in the environment, well, these antibiotics are evolving. And essentially, I'm sorry, the bacteria, I apologize. When you have all these antibiotics in the environment, the bacteria are evolving because of their exposure to antibiotics, and they're evolving to become resistant to antibiotics. So now we've got these dangerous strains of superbugs. But not only that, the level of antibiotic is accumulating in the livestock. So when we continue to eat these foods that are loaded with antibiotics, it actually alters the natural bacteria balance in our bowels. And one in every 10 cells in your body is human, right? You need all of these good bacteria. They help you absorb minerals. They help you with digestion. They help you with immunity. But when you're eating all those antibiotics, it's killing a lot of the right. good bacteria in your system. So now you're getting, come on, like irritable bowel syndrome, people that can't go to the bathroom.
Well, and you mentioned earlier, and like the, and the, all the allergies that are coming up from
yeah, all that stuff. I mean, our immune system is compromised. Again, organic food, none of that going on. None of it. Cows that eat grass, people, not antibiotics. And you don't get practices, like they don't practice these unethical factory farming practices of feeding cows, dead cows. Where do you think mad cow came from? Organic cows eat grass. That's what cows are meant to eat. Not corn that's been genetically modified that requires them to ingest antibiotics, not GMO corn, not dead animals. That's not what cows eat. Cows eat grass. And you're starting to see the results of these things, and mad cow was one perfect example. I mean, really, here's another one for you. And I'll stop scaring you because I know Janice is going to want to move on. But do you realize that often factory farmers feed livestock, pigs and poultry in particular, with arsenic? Because it promotes growth in livestock. Arsenic. How about that? But it also causes a number of cancers in humans. So, I mean, again, like I know I've said this over and over and over. And by the way, I could go on and on and on. But if you can show links in studies to depression, to cognitive dysfunction, to infertility, to cancer, to superbugs, if you can at all find the money, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? And global warming. I've gone into this before on other shows about, you know, the dead zones in the oceans and all of this stuff and the killing of the microorganisms in our soil that absorb these greenhouse gases. And when they're dead, the climate control, that's one of the number one contributors to climate control, is that we're killing all of the microorganisms in our soil with the herbicides, and they absorb those greenhouse gases. So when they're dead, it throws off the greenhouse gases in conjunction with factory farming and oil and all of this. It's a massive contributor. Guys, I don't even know what else to say anymore. When I tell you, when I take an all or nothing approach with you about this, when I give you a zero tolerance policy, it's because it's serious. It really is serious. And I've gone over it and over it, ways that you can find the money, ways that you can save money in other areas, you know, areas of your diet that you really need to focus on. I've talked about the dirty dozen, you know, avoiding the thin-skinned fruits and vegetables that aren't organic, eating meat in extreme moderation so that when you do eat it, you eat organic. I don't know what else to tell you. Look around you. Look at the conditions, the health conditions that people are struggling with. Look at the state of the planet and think about what you can do to make your life better, the life of your kids better, and the life of your family better for $20 a week. And I know it's a lot of money, but let me tell you, it's also a lot of money. Chemo. Fertility treatment, a lot of money, people. So if you can find the cash, please make the change. All right, I was back in my wheelhouse. I felt good about it.
I think Justin's waiting to talk to you. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We'll get him on.
Okay. All right. We have Justin. He has pulled over, and he is ready to talk to you now.
Ah, okay. Justin, what's going on?
Hey, Jillian. Oh, my gosh. I'm a huge fan. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, sweetheart. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Am I the first guy to call into your podcast?
No. We've had a few others.
All right.
But you are a rarity and very special.
Yes, yeah. Very special.
All right, I'll get to it. Okay, so a couple months ago, I was trying to be proactive. I went in for just a routine physical. I got a clean bill of health from the physical, except that my blood work came back, and it showed that I had high potassium.
Okay, what do you know what number?
So the normal range of potassium, I later found out, was supposed to be from 3.0 to 5.0.
Were you a 6?
I had like a 5.2.
Oh, okay. All right. That's not... If you said, like, 6+, you know, if you got into the 7s, the 8s, I'd be like, dear God. All right, okay,
right,
that's...
Right. So it was high. It wasn't extremely high, but he wanted to keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back, I had some more blood work taken, and then it started to bounce around. One time it got all the way up to, like, 5.7, 5.8.
Okay.
Other times it would drop back closer to 5.0.
Okay. Did they look at, I'm just curious, did he look at your diet at all?
Did
he say that you had something called hyperkalemia?
Hyperkalemia?
Yeah, did he mention that to you at all?
He threw the word out, but I don't think I had hyperkalemia at the point. You know, at that point, or like it, I don't think that was all. He was just concerned that it was high.
Okay. But he didn't tell you why he thought it was high.
He honestly didn't. And I think he was just a general family practitioner. And I think his main concern was, hey, let's see if this was a fluke. Because I know if something about if they stick you when they draw the blood, if it clots a little bit, like all this stuff can throw off potassium results. And...
Okay.
So, long story short, I ended up getting referred to a kidney specialist.
Right, okay.
And that's when I went to the kidney specialist, and then I was telling him about, you know, my lifestyle, and that's when he was suggesting that I stop all strength training and that I actually cut back on all of my training in general.
Is this because he's worried, like, your heart? Is that why?
I think he kind of felt like that I was overdoing it, which...
Okay, now, hold on. Is he suggesting that he's worried... Is he suggesting that he's worried it's causing your high potassium? Because that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well...
Not that I'm a doctor, because I am not, but I'm just trying to get an idea of what is going on with you.
Okay.
So is he suggesting that is the cause of it, or is he suggesting that that is dangerous activity with your condition of high potassium?
The science that he was getting into, he said that 95% of potassium is usually kept in your muscle and bones, and so if you do a lot of heavy weight training... If you tear those muscle fibers, it could release all this excess potassium. My kidneys just can't keep up with it.
That's very interesting. Okay.
And so he was saying, okay, Won't you back it down and then kind of come back up? But on the same token, my workout routine, I work out 6 days a week.
Okay.
For an hour each day.
Okay.
And it's a mixture of strength and cardio.
Gotcha. All right.
And so now I'm kind of torn because I feel like I keep up a pretty good lifestyle, so I'm not seeing a doctor or, you know, very often, but now I'm kind of torn. You know, it just kind of goes against everything I know about exercise, about all the benefits that it gives you.
I have to be honest. This is not to negate. Let me be very clear. I am not negating what your doctor said. I've never heard that before. Sure. I'm surprised that he didn't automatically go towards your diet and dietary sources of potassium. Did that conversation ever occur?
Yeah.
It did. Okay. Because like, are you supplementing? Are you drinking a lot of electrolyte drinks? Are you drinking a ton of coconut water and bananas and, you know, electrolyte drinks and protein powders and recovery drinks. Like, did you look to that at all as a source?
Yes, we did look in, you know, he told me that because I do drink protein shakes after I work out sometimes.
Okay.
I do eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, spinach, bananas, you know, the list of vegetables goes on. And I think he was he wanted to cut out all the protein shakes. And
right, of course.
Eat a lot of foods, try and eat more foods that had less potassium in it.
Smart, exactly. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. And did he check you after you did that?
So I had blood work done that same day that he checked me out, and it has come back down a little bit.
Okay.
But I didn't stop. You know, it wasn't like I drastically stopped my training. My exercise routine. I don't know.
Here's what I would recommend to anybody in a situation like this. You have to be a proactive patient. And what that means is that you should not get your medical information from the internet. However, it's smart to do reading by known experts. It's smart to do some online research. And then it's smart to talk to several experts in this area. Because I'll take Tony Robbins, for example. He has a growth, I guess a benign tumor, I think, on his pituitary gland. I might be getting this exact condition wrong. But everybody pretty much said, you know, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. By the way, that's why he's so big, because the tumor made his body release excess amounts of human growth hormone, right? And they were like, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. And he's like, I'm just not... I'm not going to go with that. And then he saw this doctor and said, no, you're going to live. You're going to be fine. You're just going to be big. And he was like, I'm going with that. And there you have it. He's alive and well and has been for many, many years. I've seen people go through these things with various choices of treatment on various medical conditions that run the gamut. And that's why it's really important that we are informed, we are educated, we do our research. What you might want to do, I mean, this is fairly harmless, maybe take a week off of training. Okay? I would say if you've done the diet, if you've done the diet for a week and you've eaten a low potassium diet for a week and it's still high,
right. Then
it's like, okay, take his advice while you're doing your research and consulting other experts for their opinion. Go back in and check it and see if, in fact, he's right. And if he is, then work with him to taper off of the fitness and then find, okay, you know, this much a week, that much a week. I definitely would not think, oh my God, I'm never working out again. I don't think that's what this guy is saying. I think he's trying to figure out why this is happening to you. So, you know, is it, why are your kidneys struggling with this? Why? I am so far from a doctor, but I have heard doctors talk about things like this before. So that's why I was just surprised he wasn't looking at your diet and then looking at why your kidneys weren't processing the potassium in your diet. I've not heard the exercise thing before, but that doesn't mean I'm right. I am, again, not the person. They're the expert you should consult. But my advice to you is be smart. Start ruling things out one by one. It won't hurt you to take a week off of training. Do your homework and research. Ask all the right questions and get multiple opinions. Second opinions, third opinions, fourth opinions. And I wouldn't let it freak you out, honey. This is just a really great way to teach you how to be proactive about your health.
Exactly. And I think it was difficult because it was hard for me to trust, just because I feel like, okay, I feel like I'm doing a lot of things right. And then now all of a sudden, you know, there's something wrong with my body, and I feel like there wasn't a whole lot that I could do about it. And I think some of it was just frustration, but
I'm sure there was. Of course you'd feel frustrated. And also, you shouldn't blindly trust. You have to have a doctor that you trust, that you've worked with for a while, that you, you know, doctors are human. They can make mistakes. It's, and that's why you got to do your research and put them to task and not take advice blindly and get second, third, and fourth opinions. You should not just blindly trust. We get into a lot of trouble when we blindly trust people, places, things. We have to do our own homework and our own research and get informed. So you're right to question, but I would say it can't hurt you to play a trial and error with his theory, and then you'll be able to rule it out.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat this out with me.
It's
really
my pleasure.
Appreciate it. And you guys are rock stars.
Oh, thank you, honey. Thank you so much. And like I said, sweetie, don't stress. You'll get to the bottom of it. It'll be okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
All right.
Take care, Justin.
All right. Bye-bye.
I can't tell you how much I actually learned from being on The Doctors. Because I was like, you know, I knew the term, I knew the whole, but not enough to be a doctor, obviously. But I was like, oh, I know about this. I bet they're going to put him on a low potassium diet and da 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 da. But again, it's such an important lesson. And the real takeaway here for everybody listening is don't take any advice blindly. Mm. Period. End of story. But conversely, here's what you shouldn't do. Here's where I get real scared. I have also noticed by being on The Doctors, so many people have started to think that they should take their entire wellness into their own hands and have really started to look at the medical profession almost as the enemy. And that is a real freaking dangerous game. So, you know, they'll go online and they'll diagnose themselves. One of the reasons I know a little bit about this is because somebody was getting cramps and thought they had Lou Gehrig's disease because they had diagnosed themselves on the friggin' internet. And Travis was like, no, there's an electrolyte imbalance. You know, it's this, it's that, it's hyper, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, dear God, this guy thinks he's got Lou Gehrig's disease and he's got an electrolyte imbalance. You can't play games like that. You cannot diagnose yourself. You cannot self-medicate or self-treat. You have to do it in conjunction with a trusted healthcare professional. And that's really the takeaway.
Yeah, I like that. You know what? We do have time for one more call. One more call.
Oh, I'm ready.
All right.
Oh, I am ready. Tee it up.
You come out at night. That's when the energy comes and the dark side's light. And the vampires roam.
Okay, we have Catherine waiting for you.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi, Jillian. Hi, Dana. Nice to see you. Talk to you.
Hi, buddy. What's going on?
I have been in therapy for about a year now, on and off throughout my life. I'm 29, turning 30 this year.
Mm.
And I have done everything in my life to, you know, get stuff on board and can't seem to get my weight in order.
Okay.
I was abused as a child.
Mm.
And, you know, I've have your unlimited book and I've done the whole, you know, working it out type tools and really just, I can't seem to get my food part and my weight, you know, commit to it. My point. And I don't know how to get past that. And it's really frustrating to me.
Okay. Hold on a second. Here's, you broke up for a second. I heard you say that you don't know how to get your food part in order.
Yeah, how to get myself committed to losing the weight that I need to lose.
Okay, so then you know how to count calories, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I just want to clarify that it's when you say food, you mean the emotional issues with food, not literally don't know what to eat kind of a thing.
No, emotional.
Gotcha. All right. Let's see here. There's I'm just trying to figure out where to jump into this conversation. We have a couple different places we can go. Why don't we start with this? All right. So when you are coping with feelings and you're turning to food, What kind of stuff is coming up for you?
Really, mostly it's habit now. Typically, it's when I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started back when I was, my parents got divorced when I was, I don't know, 14. And that's when I turned to food as my
your friend.
Comfort, my buddy.
Were you an only child?
No, I have two older sisters, but they're significantly older.
Right, so you were essentially an only child. You were alone in the house.
I was alone in the house, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I went through that at 12, and I went through it alone, and that's, you're absolutely, it was like your buddy, your thing, the thing you could count on.
Yep.
I understand. Go on.
And so I do the same thing now, only now it's when I'm stressed, I eat. When I'm bored, mm-hmm. I eat.
Right.
And I've done the whole workout, go for a walk, and without fail, I'm still eating it. And I, you know, it's to the point now where I, you know, just sort of have logically made excuses for everything, not to process whatever it is.
Okay. So you basically just said it all, though. You just said to me that you have made excuses as to why you're turning to food, even though you know that you're turning to food so you don't have to process your feelings. Just said that to me.
Right.
So here's the reality, sweetie. You just answered your own question. You know that you will not be able to stop utilizing food as a coping mechanism until you process those feelings. So now, hang on one sec, honey. Why are we getting so much clicking on the line? Just the... okay. Never mind. So, sorry, sweetheart. There's clicking on the line, and I was hoping we could fix it, but we'll work around it. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
All right. So now, we have to look at this and say, what are you afraid will happen if you process or feel your feelings? And can I ask you, are you on medication?
I am. I'm on Lexapro.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. All right. So, and who is monitoring that for you?
My physician and my therapist.
Okay. And what happens if they were, have you ever been off of Lexapro? What happens?
Oh, yeah. I just started it last year, and I have severe anxiety and panic attacks to the point where my blood pressure drops so low that I pass out.
Right. Okay. And has your therapist been helping you process this anxiety?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me now, you've got this anxiety, honey. You've got anxiety so bad that you're passing out, right? And
right.
You're using food to avoid processing these feelings. So now you've got so much anxiety about your feelings that you're fainting. And I'm guessing that you're morbidly obese?
No.
No. Okay, so what kind of weight issue are we dealing with then?
Well, I don't know what you consider morbidly obese, but I...
100 pounds overweight?
Well, yeah, I'm almost 100 pounds overweight now.
Okay, honey, that's morbidly obese. I'm sorry to tell you. But it is morbidly obese means it's very dangerous to your health. Being 100 pounds overweight is very dangerous to your health. So now you've compromised because you're so afraid to deal with these feelings, you've compromised your physical health tremendously. All right? And you're passing out over the anxiety of dealing with these emotions. Tell me what will happen to you if you process these feelings. What do you think will happen? Because you...
Everything will fall apart.
Has it not already?
No.
You sure about that?
Yeah. Not in the way that... Not in the way that I'm, you know, I'm not homeless, I'm not...
You think you'll be homeless? You think you'll be homeless?
Well, yeah, I'll be without regular, you know, financial stability and
okay,
whatever else you're supposed to have as an adult.
Okay, so you think that to process these emotions will render you unable to work? and therefore you'll be homeless. Because let me tell you what I'm hearing from you right now. I'm hearing that you are basically killing yourself with food, okay? So that's falling apart right there, kid. That's trouble. So you're in deep on that one, all right? And now you don't sound happy to me. You sound pretty upset. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we know that you're emotionally unhappy. You're physically in jeopardy. Are you in love?
Yes, I'm married, happily.
Okay, that's great news. Are you worried that if you deal with these feelings, it will compromise your marriage?
No, but I'm sort of the stability in my marriage, so I carry a lot of that part of it.
Were you the stability in your family?
After my dad left, yeah.
Okay. Okay, honey, here's the thing. You need to talk to your partner, your spouse, your husband, and say, I am afraid that if I begin to delve into these things, I'm going to fall apart. And I need to know that you can handle this. Because you have played that role of stabilizer, glue, the one that holds it all together for many, many years now. And so you're doing the exact same thing in your marriage. Okay? And by the way, you may not actually need to do that. You may actually be enabling your spouse to not hold things together because you're so busy holding things together. You need to talk to him and say, I'm worried that if I do this deeper work, our relationship will fall apart because I will fall apart. And work something out where you feel like you can take that baby step of being vulnerable and dealing with these feelings. And simultaneously, you, sweetheart, it's already compromised. You got on Lexapro because you were having such bad anxiety, you were passing out. Okay? So those emotions were already running wild. And you got on Lexapro to be able to function. So the Lexapro being monitored by both of your doctors, your therapist and your doctor, should help you continue to function. That's what it does. It helps people function in a true crisis so they can work. But I'm going to tell you right now that you're already falling to pieces. You're falling to pieces. You're not happy. You're not able to feel vulnerable in the marriage and lean on your husband because you didn't feel that way as a kid. You are, and you're in physical jeopardy. So at some point, the pain of not dealing with the feelings and the consequences of not dealing with the feelings are going to outweigh the pain that'll come with dealing with the feelings. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does.
And you need to really look at right now how much pain you're actually in avoiding this stuff. Because although you think that you're numbing out to it and although you think that you're denying it, you're not denying it. And it's cropping up in fainting spells and morbid obesity and an inability to be vulnerable in your marriage. So I am here to tell you, and I can only say this, nothing will get better until you process this stuff. And I know that it's terrifying stuff, and I know that it's painful stuff, and I understand. But sweetheart, you are careening on a speeding train off of a cliff. So you've got to jump off the train. And I know you think that, oh my God, if I jump off this train, I'll die, I'll get hurt, I won't survive. But you will not survive negating these things for long. And not with any quality. You may physically live, but with an extraordinarily limited quality of life.
Where? Already am.
Say it again?
I already am.
Exactly my point. That's exactly my point. So I'm going to tell you, this is all I can tell you right now. You know what you need to do.
I can promise you this, it will not kill you. You will not cease to function. You may fall into a deep depression. That's okay. I think you're actually probably already in one, honey, or they wouldn't have put you on Lexapro. You may go through a severe depression. And that's okay. You will come out of it. And you will come out of it having a greater wisdom and a greater depth and a greater ability for empathy and compassion and intimacy and vulnerability and happiness than ever before. But those lessons in life, we have to pay for them. And we pay for them with our tears, literally. We earn them. We buy those things with our tears. And you are strong enough to come through this, but it will not get better until you process all those feelings. And there's nothing else I can say to you, honey. It just is what it is. And I promise you that you will be okay. You will be better than okay, but you need to ride it out. You need to lean into this breakdown. It's the only way through it.
Okay.
I know that's not what you wanted to hear. I wish I had some sort of magic answer. I really do.
Honestly, you know, I've been following you since day one, and I'm actually just starting grad school to become a counselor, and I logically know all of this. It's just,
I know.
The healing part is really hard.
I know. But you know what? Remind yourself the not doing part is just as hard, and there's no reward. Make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Being 100 pounds overweight, that hurts. Being able to feel like you can't break down in your marriage, that hurts. Feeling like you're gonna have anxiety so bad that you pass out, that hurts. So you're already in it, kid. It's not going to get worse than this. It's going to be different, but it won't hurt more than it hurts now. It'll hurt the same. And the good news is you'll come through it.
Okay.
Oh, honey. God, I hate letting you go. I swear to you, I wish I had something magic to say. Janice, do you have a magic sentence?
No, I don't, but...
Give me the magic sentence.
No, I think Catherine said the best thing. I think that was really cool. You got enough training under your belt with your counseling classes that you know inside what you got to do. It's just, I think it's great. I think you're on an amazing journey if you just take the step.
I agree. And I know you can do it, buddy. You can do this. Okay?
I trust you.
Girl, I've never been wrong about this. I've never been wrong about this. I don't know if you believe in God. I don't know if you believe in some sort of higher whatever, the God within, you know, whatever. But I don't believe we're given more than we can handle. It's just a matter of whether or not we choose to handle it. It's a choice.
I know. I've said it.
It's a choice about how we choose to handle it. And if you choose to handle it and deal with it, there is a reward at the end. And that reward is a better, happier, stronger, healthier you.
Well, I'm going to hold you to that because I got big dreams.
Girl, they're calling for you. That's your motivation. Remember, your dreams are your destiny. But you got to go after them. You got to do the work.
You're right. Absolutely.
Keep us updated, please.
Okay. I can do that.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. And thanks, Janice.
Thank you, Catherine.
You guys have a great day.
You too, sweetie.
Bye.
Oh, that poor kid. I feel like we're sending her to the firing squad, but the truth of the matter is...
No,
that's like that's where she's going to find life, is in this sort of breakdown. It's a breakdown breakthrough cliche.
I believe the term is God gives us no cross we cannot bear.
Oh, that's a good one.
But it's true. But as she said, she's taken some counseling. She wants to be counseled. And
And think of what a great counselor she'll be when
exactly,
she does this work. Yeah.
Exactly. Anybody who wants to get into the helper field,
yeah,
honestly, it's not that you have to experience everything that your client does. I don't believe that. But you have to have
empathy.
And the awareness about yourself.
Yeah.
You can't be a helper unless you're
self-aware.
Yeah.
Oh my God, poor kid.
No, and she's gonna keep in touch, and we're gonna keep an eye out for her.
All right.
Keep an eye out for her messages.
I agree.
Okay. You know what?
What?
I think this is a good time to maybe say goodbye for the day.
Oh, it is.
I think so.
What is it with you? You've always had enough.
No.
Always time to go.
It's just, it seems like a lovely, I think it was a lovely call. I thought it was, I think it's just
it's a very organic closure.
Very organic way to just,
you know, the people are constantly complaining that we're like, you know, 3 minutes short.
They can take it up with iTunes because they're the ones that have the big hickory stick that says shorter.
Oh, all
yeah,
right.
We're not allowed to go long.
Why are you just telling me this now?
I am but the gatekeeper, whatever you call it. I am the
gatekeeper.
I don't know what the hell
I am. It's like Ghostbusters. I am the gatekeeper. Are you the Toastmaster? Oh, what was that? Do you remember that movie? All right.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. I ended it. I said bye.
She lives for me, says she lives for me, ovation. Who will motivation? She comes out and she goes down on me. And I make you smile like a drug for you. Do ever what you wanna do, coming over you. Keep on smiling, what we go through. One stop to the rhythm that divides you. And I speak to you like the chorus to the verse. Drop another line like a coda with the curse.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.